Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Trust the Process. Today I have with me none other than my good friend John Mark, and we're going to be talking about some real estate wholesaling. So without further ado, John Mark, I'm going to give you the floor, introduce yourself, and let the people know what you do.
Yeah, thank you, man. You know, I'm definitely glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me to your podcast. Again, my name is John Mark. I am a real estate investor, and I've been in the business now for about 2.5 years, and have started, you know, pretty much from the ground up, pretty much on the streets, putting out signs, knocking on doors, got to the point where I made some money and started selling, sending mail to people and, you know, buying bigger and better property, and then getting to the point where I can have my own properties and start going to the next level, private lending to other people who are trying to buy a property. So, I mean, there's plenty more steps I want to take, there's plenty more things I want to do, but that's pretty much what I do so far.
Okay. We're gonna break down the meat and potatoes in on that. By definition, could you tell me what a real estate investor is?
Real estate investor is anybody who pretty much buys real estate. Pretty much what I do is called wholesaling. And it's pretty much, I'm the middleman between the seller, the person who owns the home, and the investor buyer, who the person who wants to buy a home. Now, I'm an investor myself too. So these are the guys you watch on HGTV. These are the guys who flip houses.
Property brothers,
all the kind of stuff, you know? Yeah. So I find them deals.
Okay.
You know, that's what I do. And then if a deal is good, I'm like, I'm gonna hold on to this for myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's a little bit of something. What goes into the process of something like that? Like, who, like, if I wanted to become a person who wants to be an investor, how would I go about that process? How does that go?
Okay, so it depends on how much money you want to start in the game. If you don't have money, when I started, you know, I mean, I didn't know much about the industry, and I didn't know what, I mean, not know, but I didn't have the capital to start investing big like I'm doing now. So if you're starting up front, it's best to put out what they call bandit signs. You put, hey, I buy houses.
The people we see on the street, we buy ugly houses,
all kind of, y'all are still called bandit signs. You put those out, you put your phone number, and anybody who's in a distressed situation who wants to sell their house, they'll give you a call. You could do that, put ads on Craigslist, put social media ads out, you know, just on, you know, just on your post, just say, hey, I buy houses. If you know anybody who's interested in selling a house that looks like this, and you put a picture of a rundown house or whatever, boarded up, I'm interested. And from there, once people start calling you, you go, and it's going to take some knowledge of renovation costs and evaluating comparable properties in the market. So you're going to have to put in some effort in learning, you know, how to look at Zillow and Redfin and Realtor.com and see, okay, if my house was a 3-bedroom, 2.5 brick ranch in built in 1950s, those are the kind of houses you need to look at online compared to yours. Look at, okay, these houses are in the same condition mine is in. They're selling for this much, but the ones that are renovated are selling for that much. And then now you got to see, what kind of renovations did they do that looked like from the as-is houses to the renovated houses? And you kind of calculate that math, and then you put in the cost for dealing with an agent, dealing with a closing attorney, putting in the rehab costs, and then you subtract a little bit for yourself. Let's say you want to make $10,000-$15,000, and then when you subtract all those numbers, it lets you know how much you need to offer the seller. Let's say you offer them $80,000 for that house. Then the next step from there is to then find investors. Same thing.
I know you said when you first started, you was putting out signs. Who got you interested in this? How did you come up? How did you stumble upon this before even get into all of the cost and the numbers and stuff like that? So, like, what, like, you just sitting at home, and you're just like, you know what, I'm gonna start looking into this. How did you get started on that?
For me, it wasn't like that. For a lot of people, it is. For me, I was in the IT field. I was fixing computers and network systems, and I was going to school for that too. But a good buddy of mine, he was out there putting signs out and doing all that stuff.
Right.
But him, he's a numbers guy. He's not a very good people person when he's sit in somebody's living room or their kitchen and talk to them about their houses or just talk to them in general. He wasn't like that.
Because I assume when you're trying to buy someone's house, you really have to be like very personable with them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's where my strong suit was, just from the experience I had just working in retail markets and things like that.
Right.
And he's like, hey, I got this business. I've been buying houses and flipping them, but right now I'm not the best at talking to people, sitting in the kitchens talking to them. You know, do you want to get in on this? I'm like, okay, what's wholesaling?
right.
I have never heard of that.
Okay.
Then he pretty much told me what it was, and I'm like, okay, I just gotta go talk to people, get the contract signed, and what? He's like, okay, yeah, that's it. So how much can I make? He's like, as many houses as you can see. I mean, so far I've made $30,000 in 2 months. I was like, you made how much now?
yeah. That's probably what everybody listening to this is say. What? Run that back one more time. Yeah. So $30,000 in 2 months. He said that, and that piqued your interest.
That piqued my interest.
Okay. And so go continue from there.
Yeah. And so with our dynamic, and it's different. You know, if you get a mentor, you start yourself. But mine and his dynamic, I'm always used to working my 9-to-5 and getting my check and having my, you know, security. So I wasn't used to going full commission. You know, hunting. If I don't make a deal, I don't eat.
That's scary.
That was
that's
tough.
Scary because for a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? Even for a lot of people just living out here today, and a lot of people that's probably going to hear this, they're used to just going to a 9-to-5, you know what I'm saying? And just getting their check and coming home. But when it's something like this, you know what I'm saying? It's something that, you know, we're talking to the people about, you know, maybe they wanted to try or they just didn't know how to. This is something that you can make, you know what I'm saying? You just have to be ready to go through it and just learn it.
And this doesn't have to be a full-time gig. When I started, I mean, that's one thing I learned doing this for a while. It doesn't have to be a full-time gig because most of my time, when I'm out there making calls, after I put signs out, I'm watching Netflix and playing PlayStation, waiting for somebody to call me.
Right.
You know? And so if I know I'm getting one deal per month that's going to make me 10, 15, 20, 50, 100,000, I can just sit around until that call comes in. Or the other way is to be proactive, get a list of a bunch of houses. You know, there's a whole other thing, but you can get a list of a bunch of people's numbers and call all day long.
Right.
And then, you know, you spend 2 hours calling, 2 hours playing Madden.
Cold calling.
Correct. So it's all about how much time you want to put into it. If you currently already have a full-time job and you want to do this early in the morning or later in the evening, because the same people you're trying to buy houses from, guess what they do? They work 9 to 5.
So they can't do everything
at the same time. So you call them between 7 in the morning to about, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, and then you call them again between 5 to 8, you know? Yeah. So you can make it work like that and set the appointments based on your schedule. Okay. So that's one thing I learned. So if anybody wants to get into it, don't think about, hey, you got to leave your job because you're gonna Google wholesaling and you're going to talk to mentors and you're going to talk to quote-unquote gurus and going to say, yeah, man, leave your 9-to-5. Leave everything behind and start doing this. Yeah. Do not listen to them. You can do this. You're going to be broke. Because I didn't make my first check until after 3 months of doing this.
Three months.
But that first check was nice. The second one was better. The third one was even better because I got the system down.
You got the hang of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're talking about the system. Take us through one of the calls. So you put out a sign or whatever.
Right.
And someone calls you. Take us through how that goes.
So, you know, they call me. So, yeah, so I got a house and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, hey, thanks for giving me a call. Let me get your name. I didn't get your name. And, you know, because you always got to build rapport with them. Let them know that you're not just some fly-by-night investor or somebody doesn't know what they're talking about. So the first thing to do is to build a relationship with them. Hey, what's your name? What's the address of the property? Why are you looking to sell this property? Mm-hmm. Then they'll explain the situation to you. Then you can get into, you know, the tints and bits about the property. You know, how many bedrooms and baths? Have you done any work to the property? What's the current condition? Is it rented? Right. Is it occupied? Is it, you know, vacant? Get as much information as you can about the property. Schedule an appointment to meet with them.
Mm.
You want to see them face to face, and when you get off that phone, you go out and do some research on Zillow, Redfin. If you have access to FMLS, which is the multiple listing service for Georgia, pretty much shows you all the deals that agents have or have sold, and you can get that by either becoming an agent yourself, which you don't have to do in this business. I'm not an agent at all. And I'm still buying and selling houses every day.
Make sure y'all, that's a key note now. He's not an agent. You don't have to be in real estate or a real estate agent to do this. So, you know, this is one of those things that you can really just hop into, you know what I'm saying, once you get the proper knowledge, you know, and go like full head of steam, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So make sure y'all hear that and hear what he's saying.
Yeah, so, and then once I check the comparables and everything, I would then have an idea in mind of how much I want to pay based on what they told me. Because like I told you earlier, I'm looking at the houses that sold has been renovated or mm-hmm. houses that are currently rented and occupied. And I'm looking at their house and looking at condition. If it needs work, how much work does it take to get up to that point? And then how much money do I want to make? But mm-hmm. I also can't be too greedy. I got to leave meat on the bone for investors. Mm-hmm. I got to make sure, because most investors in the industry want to make about 10% profit per deal. That's at least.
Right.
Because that's how much I want to make.
So it's basically how much they want to put into the house after you've bought it. You know what I'm saying? Bought it out and then, you know, basically give it to them and see how much they want to put in, either put in or renovate and stuff like that mm-hmm. so they can end up selling it again.
Correct. And, okay. you know, don't because a lot of other wholesalers forget about three important things when they're giving offers to other investors. They forget about closing costs, because mm-hmm. those are costs that you're going to have to pay. They forget about the agent commissions. Agents, you have to buy as agent, which is getting 3%. The selling agent, which is getting 3%. And you have concessions from the the end home buyer, because they're going to say, well, I don't like these walls. I want them blue instead of white.
Mm.
Well, unless you give me $3,000 off, I'm not buying it. Well, look, I'll take $3,000 off the house. How about that?
And then
okay, so that's concession. So yeah. you have to, I always budget about 1% of the wholesale price. So those are all the things that investors will come across when they're selling the property that they flip. So you got to keep that in mind as a wholesaler, because I've talked to a lot of investors and they're like, yeah, man, I don't take deals from wholesalers because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Mm.
I'm like, really?
I was like, why would they say that? Why do they have the notion to say that?
Because people aren't doing their homework. Mm. They just see, okay, the house down the street sold for $250,000 and I can get this from the seller for about $50,000. So if it's sold for $250,000 renovated and I saw one as is, you know, well, there's not very many as is ones. So they're like, okay, they got to put in about like $40,000, but they didn't do any work to do it. They didn't do any
check it out or none of that.
None of that. They're like, I don't know, $40,000 looks like it. Okay. So now they're all in at 90. Okay. Let me make $30,000 then put it out. Well, if you're all in at 120 and house over $250,000, you got to remember 6% total for agents, 1% for the concessions. Then you have the other, depending on if you're doing a hard money loan, because now you got to get a loan for that property to do the renovation and buy the property. Mm-hmm. Some investors have cash, but in this industry, no one uses their own money to buy houses. You always use private money or use hard money. So all those fees come in. And I mean, I'm not doing the math exactly right now, but after all the math is said and done, the investor's making $20,000.
So this is definitely one of those things you have to start. If your credit is good, you're going to need some good credit, right? Yeah.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay.
Yes and no.
Tell us about that.
So let me tell you about my other side of the business, private lending.
Okay, private lending.
Yes. Yeah, so private lending is a family, a friend, a business partner who has money and will loan you their money for your project. They're not checking your credit. They're not checking anything. So I want to borrow money from my private money lender. He charges me 1 to 1.5% origination cost. If I go to a hard money lender, they're going to charge me 3%.
Mm.
So if I'm trying to borrow $100,000, I got to pay up front three racks to the hard money lender.
Okay.
But to my private lender, I pay him $1,500.
Okay.
And then you look at interest per month. If I deal with the hard money lenders, it's about 12% interest annualized. So you just pretty much, you take 12% divided by 12.
So kind of like a 12% APR or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, in a sense. And so he's charging me 12% of my borrowed cost per month.
Mm.
But the private money lender, he's charging me 6 to 8%.
Okay.
So I'm borrowing money from him. He's not checking my credit. The hard money lender is.
Okay.
So as long as I can prove, hey, look, this is how much all these houses are selling for. I need to borrow this much. I'll make this much. And everything looks good. They'll let you borrow the money. Because guess what? If you borrow his money, you've already bought the house. This thing called a security deed.
Mm.
If you default at all, miss a couple of payments, whatever, everything goes to him. So all the work and effort you put into it goes to him.
Wow.
So guess what? He not only makes the, because all the money he was going to make was $100,000 he borrowed from you, which includes the origination.
6%, 6 to 8%.
Yes. And then so if it takes you 3 or 4 months, that's what he's getting paid. But guess what? You planned on making $80,000 on this house, all said and done, after it's been sold.
Yeah.
So if you, for some reason, default, he gets the house. He has a team that can finish it. He has your team to finish it for him, and then he makes $80,000. So trust me, they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine with just giving you that. Come on, go ahead.
Yeah. Let me borrow that money.
Yeah.
Oh. So if you mess up, because everything goes to closing.
Right.
Everything is documented as a contract, so they get the house if you default, and then guess what? They can also put credit services on you.
Mm.
Get more money out of you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So that kind of sounds like what I want to take you into next. On this podcast, we have a saying called "What is life without an L?" So could you take me through one of the L's that you've taken?
One of them. Like, there's been so many.
Yeah. Well, just take us through one of the L's you've taken while starting this process and along your journey.
Okay. So if you're going to be a wholesaler, the hardest thing to do, aside from getting the property under contract, is selling that property.
Mm.
And one of my very first deals that I had, I was green. I went to go see this house, and I thought I did as much research as I could.
Mm.
Apparently, I didn't do enough. The house was vacant for years, had water damage, the structure wasn't sound, but I got excited because the seller wanted to meet me.
Right.
And me and him built a great relationship.
Yeah.
When I saw the house, I got into listening to him hype up the house.
Yeah.
You can't go by what they're saying, because look, they're trying to sell something.
Yeah.
So
they're going to hype it up.
They're going to hype it up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to remember, no matter how good the relationship is, remember this is a business. You're putting money on the table.
Mm.
So, of course, I'm not the one buying the house, but I'm getting it under contract, and to put something under contract, I have to put some amount of money down.
Yeah.
So at the time when I was signing contracts, I was put $1,000 down. Which I learned was a little bit too much. So I put $1,000 down and say that this $1,000 is soft for about 10 days. It becomes hard after 10 days. So I have to give them that money after 10 days. Mm-hmm. I can back out within that 10 days and take my money back, say, hey, my contractor said this wasn't a good deal, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever. And so I forgot to do that. And mm-hmm. I tried to sell it. I put feelers out there. I haven't got an agent to list it for me. I had to pay the agent's fees because I didn't do my homework, and I listened to him
telling me that it was in
good condition and everything. Yeah. And even though, I saw
mm-hmm.
the crap it looked like, I'm listening to him. Yeah, if you do this, it's only going to cost you this much. So I'm taking everything he says and writing it down, and that's what I'm telling the investors. They're like, no, what are you talking about? It's going to cost you 3 times that amount.
Right.
I was like, oh, I already got in the contract. I was like, I might find an investor. So I'm putting it out, got an agent to list it. And she's even like, even an end buyer who normally their numbers are askew wouldn't do this. And so not only did I lose $1,000 I have to pay him, but I lost the listing fee for the agent and wasted so much time, and it got a bad credibility from other investors. Yeah. So it took a while to bring that back up. So do your homework, know the market, and don't fall for what people are telling you.
Definitely. Well, with every L, there is a bounce back story.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about one of the good times you've had. What I'm saying?
Man, let me tell you about the best deal
you've ever had.
Best deal I've ever had.
Yeah.
The best deal I ever had started from the second worst deal I've ever had.
Okay.
It's not worse as I lost money, but I wasted a lot of time. Mm-hmm. There was a house in, it was in Edgewood.
Okay.
So, there's a lot happening over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this family, definitely a sad situation. The mother of the family is $3. The mother passed away, but before she passed away, they didn't know that she took money out of the house to pay everyone's debts.
Mm.
But there's still a mortgage on the house.
Yeah.
So when mom passed away, they're trying to sell the house, but they're like, oh, well, there's a mortgage on this house. It was a pretty high mortgage, too.
Mm.
But still, investors were hot in that area.
Yeah.
So I sent, letters out to people and mail online. So she happened to get one of mine, and she called me. I went to go see the property, and I gave her an offer that she didn't accept. So she goes out and finds out the people get in the contract, but they can't sell it because they're giving her the moon. They're promising her the moon, and they can't
deliver.
They can't deliver. Mm-hmm. My price is realistic. So okay. After three people, she comes back to me. All right. I give her that offer, and she's like, well, can you come up a little bit more? So I came up $25,000 more, mm-hmm. price that I wanted. And so I'm trying to sell the deal for her, and I find buyers. And this, even that I came up, I was still going to make $30,000 on this house.
Okay.
So, but she's not coming to the appointment because she wanted to be at every appointment and see who I'm selling the house to. And,
yeah.
And but she's not showing up. So I'm just, me and an investor just looking at each other. I'm just like, hey, I'm sorry.
The person didn't come. Yeah.
They didn't come. I'm so sorry. Mm. And so they're leaving. I'm just sitting in the car, and I see next door, there's a plumbing guy working at the house. And so I'm like, let me go talk to him. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm like, hey, are they doing work? Like, does something happen? Are they trying to do some work? They're like, no, they're moving out. I gotta shut the water off. It's like, oh, so I'm like, oh, let me go talk to him.
Yeah, they're moving out.
Yeah, they're moving out. Okay, so I'm talking to him, and it was a gentleman. And so I'm like, hey, I was talking to Miss such and such over there. I'm buying her property. You know, are you guys moving out? You guys selling this property here? They're like, no, we're not selling. We're just letting the bank have it. You're letting the bank have it?
In my head,
I'm like, oh, well, so how much do you guys own the house? Mind you, houses over there were selling and then getting demolished for $250,000.
Okay.
Getting demolished. They're buying a $250,000 piece of land to demolish and build up and selling $1.2 million houses. Mm. So he's like, the bank wants $150,000. I'm like, No, I'm sorry. It wasn't $150,000. It was $75,000. And I was like, man, so you guys need $75,000 to clear this? He's like, yeah. I was like, so what's going on? Why can't you guys pay? You know, I'm trying to find out what's the problem. Not just how much money, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Well, mom's in the hospital. She's battling cancer. We can't afford the payments. We can't afford the payments on the house. We got to give it to the bank. You know, we're all moving in with my cousin. It's a family of four. So I'm just like, man, I'm like, how much money do y'all need? Like, well, get the house cleared up, get mama right, get us a house. We need about like $120,000. I was like, if I give you $150,000, will you sign right now? I'll buy this house for $150,000 right now. They were like,
where'd this blessing come from?
They were like, he called his sister, called her the phone, and the thing is too, like, a lot of people aren't too knowledgeable in the real estate market. So he just heard a number and he was just like, but he got what he wanted,
right?
So he called his sister, and she was definitely more knowledgeable. So her and I are talking terms, and we're getting to the nitty-gritty of everything, and she's fine with it because I mean, I'm giving them exactly what they want. Yeah. I know in my head that I can sell for more, but I mean, if this is what you want, this is what you want, you know?
Right? Like, they wanted $120,000, you gave them $150,000.
Yeah, I gave you $150,000. Right. So you can get $250,000 out of it, but you want $150,000? You want $120,000? I'm gonna give you $150,000. I'm still helping you out. I mean, there's a morality in this too, but at the same time, this is a business.
Yeah.
You know,
make sure that if y'all don't take anything from this, take this. This is a business.
Yeah,
business is business. At the end of the day, no matter how many relationships you formulate, you know, at the end of the day, business is business.
Yeah,
and when business is all said and done. Friendships, all that, you can have all that, but when business is on the table, handle your business.
Yep. And so that one there, we had a good like I said, I work with a buddy of mine, and the way we structured it for the work that I do, work that he does, is a 70-30 split, because he pays for all the marketing and everything, because marketing, that's so expensive.
Yeah.
So 70-30 split. So with the property, we're like, we know what we got in our hands. We, you know, like, we didn't want to dilly-dally anything. So we go to a private lender. He knows the area. He's like, I got this for how much? Here's the money.
Yeah, he's trying to give it to you.
He threw that money at us.
Right.
Take this. So we got that money. Mm-hmm. But we didn't do the construction ourselves. We're wholesalers. We didn't want to have to do the work.
Right. I mean, you just hire someone and...
What I'm saying is we just wholesale it to an investor who's going to do the work.
Okay.
So we sold it for $265,000 to them.
All right. And then y'all out of there.
We were out. I mean, that's all we had to do was sign paper and connect the dots. And I,
boom.
Boom. That was the best deal. And I got paid in cash. Ooh. I made it rain, boy.
I bet you did. I bet you did, man. But sticking on right on to these questions, man, I want to ask you, where has this taken you? You know what I'm saying? And where do you see it going in the future for yourself?
I mean, this industry has brought me to the point where I can relax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have spent so much more time on myself.
Yes.
You know, handling things with the family, being able to go out and see more of my out-of-state family, spending some time with my wife and my dogs. You know, it's giving me more time for me.
Freedom,
like I said,
yeah.
Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the whole thing, is getting that, not only financial freedom. That's another thing that helped me out a lot too, because I got so used to seeing $300, $400 in my bank account for years.
Yeah,
I'm making all the, you know, I'm making a bunch of money, but I got so much bills to pay, rent to pay. You know, this, I was able to buy a house. You know, I'm planning on buying a new car. I'm just riding with the car that I had, because that's my first whip. You know, so I'm just holding on to it. But if I want to, I can. You know, I can pay a bill and not even think about it. You know, it's seriously it's that freedom, not like financial freedom, personal freedom. It's, you know, and now I see so many ways of not only investing in real estate, but investing in all the other forms of investing.
Yeah.
And just taking that money and putting into here for it to grow. I can save my, I mean, it's changed my life.
Wow.
But, you know, most things could do that too, but this real estate did it for me. Wholesaling did it for me. And, you know, it doesn't work for everybody. I'll tell you that right now, because you have to put the work in. I put a lot of work into this. Like I said, for the first 3 months, I didn't make any money. Most people would have quit.
Mm.
I didn't make any money. But
yeah.
I worked on myself. I read books. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos and people who were doing it. And really what I learned was, really, it was just making people like me.
Yeah.
Like my name, Jean-Marc.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, Jean-Marc, is that French?
Yeah,
it's French. It's like two Bible names, John and Mark. People love, people love my name. So that gets me in. So you got to find what gets you in, you know, and just ride with it, you know. There was another gentleman who's from Barbados, and I'm from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that. So that got us up. So now he's being more honest about the property and allows me to make a better decision. And I'm able to give him a good offer. And then he respects the offer, not just, man, he just giving me some number out of his, you know. So,
yeah. That's what's up, man. That's definitely what's up. And like you said, the first 3 months you didn't make no money. But guess what? You trusted your process. And before we get up out of here, I want to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
For all the listeners out there, could you give them, like, if they wanted to follow in your footsteps, if they wanted to say, hey, you know what, this is something I'm thinking about doing, I want to try to do it, what kind of advice would you give them?
Get on YouTube, Google it, and watch those videos. It's going to give you everything you need to know, but really the most you're going to have to do is get down and call and talk to people and try to get some deals and go see properties. Don't be afraid to knock on people's doors and let them know who you are and what you do. You know, respect people's time. And if you see renovations going on, driving down the street, go in there. You know, it's going to be the general contractor working, you know, with his subcontractors. Ask them questions. Ask them, how much does this cost to do? How long does this take to do? How much do you charge? And if the owner is there, oh, trust me, they want to talk to you about the deal all day. I'm doing this, I've done that, I turned into this, I'm gonna sell it for this much. So you're gonna learn by seeing, you know, people do the work. That's the only way you can learn, unless you do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I've never done a flip. I don't want to do flips.
Right.
I'll buy rentals, I'll slap some paint, new carpet, get it ready for somebody to rent it, but I don't want to do flips. That's not what I want to do. People who do flips, there's a lot more risk into it. But all I want to do is wholesale and buy rentals. That's me. So, you know, get on YouTube, learn what people are doing, learn how to talk to people about real estate, learn how to find comps, get on the phone, get out there, start driving, write down addresses, go to White Pages, put that address on there, find that number. Those are all free ways to make money in this industry. It's going to take a lot longer. If you want to put money into it, trust me, you'll find that online, how to put money into the system to get a lot back out. Because when I started putting money into it and got a partner and stuffing money into it, I mean, I got paid back tenfold.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we get out of here, is there anything else you want to shed light to the people? Or
pretty much everything. But, you know, I'm you know, definitely honored to be here and, you know, just talk about, you know, what I've learned and what I'm doing, because, you know, I've definitely seen an increase and the amount of people getting into not just wholesale, but real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of people get in and get out. But, you know, when you look at the richest Americans in the world, just the richest Americans in general, right? How do they make most of their wealth? Real estate. So obviously you should be getting into real estate at some point. Either have one rental, have own real estate. That is the best investment you can make. Own a house. Because for the amount of money you can pay for rent, trust me, it's a lot cheaper to get a mortgage.
And I'm telling you, we've been playing Monopoly for so long, we didn't even know what we was doing. And that's what's up, man. And hopefully we done shed some light today on wholesaling. And before you get out of here, give them where they can find you and follow you, you know what I'm saying, where they can get all your information if they want to contact you or, you know, get some more information on wholesaling. Let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, best way to find me is on either Instagram or Facebook. You could reach Facebook me on Jean-Marc Destinoble. That's JeanMarcDestinoble. And on Instagram, that's Destined to Be Noble. That's the word Destin, number two, letter B, Noble. You can find me on there. You know, send me a DM, and you know, let me know who you are, and you know, I'll definitely give you some pointers on how to start.
Okay, and that's it, man. Thank you. It's been another episode of Trust the Process. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch y'all next time. Peace.